Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and the candidates in the last Democratic and the last Republican presidential debate had little in common, except for at least one big thing. Nearly all of them saved their sharpest attacks for Hillary Clinton. After the Democratic men ganged up on her in Philadelphia last week, the Clinton campaign accused them of, quote, piling on. Interpret that as you will. Former vice presidential candidate Geraldine Ferraro had some thoughts on this as the first woman on a major party national ticket. She told the New York Times, quote, John Edwards specifically, as well as the press, would never attack Barack Obama for 2 hours the way they attacked her. It's okay in this country to be sexist. It's certainly not okay to be racist. I think if Barack Obama had been attacked for 2 hours, well, I don't think Barack Obama would have been attacked for 2 hours, unquote. All of that from Geraldine Ferraro, who was going to come on with us this morning, but because of a mix-up about what time that was supposed to be, we'll have to do that another day. But instead, we'll open up the phones on this. Apparently, the Clinton campaign first said they thought it was sexist, the way the Democratic men piled on using that phrase. Then they said, well, no, it's because Hillary is winning. And then yesterday, Bill Clinton said something else. He talked about her being swift-boated. So 212-433-WNYC is our phone number. What do you think? Clinton supporters? Women Clinton supporters in particular? Do you think it was sexist the way either the Democratic candidates went after Hillary last week or the way the debate was set up in itself? Brian Williams and Tim Russert also taking some heat there from Geraldine Ferraro and others. How did she put it? Ferraro said, going back to that quote, John Edwards specifically, as well as the press, would never attack Barack Obama for 2 hours the way they attacked her. And certainly, as I watched that debate, the beginning of it especially, I realized that they knew that the campaign was at a point where the other major candidates were going to attack Hillary. If you remember, in the weekend before, Obama had even told the New York Times, I am now going to ratchet up the rhetoric about how different I am from Hillary Clinton. So they knew that was there to be done. And they did structure the first, I don't know, 10 or 20 minutes of the debate all around giving them the opportunity to say why you're different from her, right? And so, for example, after the debate, this continued, John Edwards put out a commercial, and we're going to play a little bit of it right now, that was all clips of Hillary Clinton from that debate, solely from that debate, right? And the point was to show how she appears to contradict herself on several issues in this spot. So we will play some of this right now. And this is all strung together. You can see it clearly in the video version. But listen to how Hillary seems to say one thing and then seems to say another thing on the same issues a few times here. And the question is this sexist?
I stand for ending the war in Iraq, bringing our troops home. We're going to have troops remaining there guarding our embassy. We may have a continuing training mission, and we may have a mission against Al-Qaeda in Iraq. But on specific issues, I've come out with very specific plans. With respect to Social Security, I do have a plan. But personally, I am not going to be advocating any specific fix until I am seriously approaching fiscal responsibility.
Do you, the New York Senator Hillary Clinton, support the New York governor's plan to give illegal immigrants a driver's license?
I did not say that it should be done, but I certainly recognize why Governor Spitzer is trying to do it.
No. You said yes. No. You thought it made sense to do it.
No, I didn't, Chris.
All right. So that's how Edwards put it together in a commercial after the debate. Another story breaking this morning, by the way, maybe you just heard it as the lead on the 11 o'clock news. Pat Robertson endorsed Rudy Giuliani for president. And since we have a hole here, since Geraldine couldn't be on at this time, we are calling someone we know down at Robertson's Regent University, one of the deans there, to see just how that is possible. So Pat Robertson is apparently looking past issues like abortion and gay rights, which are, you know, you would think central to him, and focusing on the war on terror. And I've interviewed Pat Robertson in the studio, and he really is into promoting his religion as the best religion, right? He doesn't think Judaism is legitimate. He doesn't think Islam is legitimate. Maybe it's religious war trumps all. And if Giuliani is going to be the best to fight the, quote, Islamo-fascists, as he puts it, then, you know, maybe that's what it's all about for Pat Robertson. So a couple of interesting political things going on right now. But what do you think about sexism and the attacks on Hillary Clinton? And what do you think about whether she was swift-boated, as Bill Clinton put it in an interview yesterday? Corey in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Corey.
Hi. I think this has been horribly botched. She should have kept the stiff upper lip. She should have gone out and said, this is a good debate. I was pleased with everything. Nobody should be complaining. And then she should have gone on the offensive. But, I mean, this is a tremendous show of weakness to be have all of her surrogates running around whining and moaning and groaning about sexism and everything else like that. You know, it's like Henry Ford II said, never explain, never complain. Go on the offensive, you know, and don't whine, because that just reinforces whatever, you know, the questions that everybody has about women running for anything.
Corey, thank you very much. Felicia in Pelham, you're on WNYC. Hi, Felicia.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for taking the call.
Thank you.
I tend to agree with the caller who just called in. I would say that there's probably a tiny bit of sexism going on in what happened, in the sense that the other candidates probably rightly view Hillary Clinton being a woman as something of a liability somewhere. And so they're going to use that in a kind of subtle way. But I think that the larger thing is that she's the front runner. And, you know, us Democrats have been saying for a long time, we really want real debates and we want to see how people differ. We want to see policy differences. That means going after the front runner. Period. And I completely agree with Corey that she should have simply chalked it up to, well, I guess I'm winning, and that's why they felt it necessary. And well, I would say that her reaction was awful, just awful. You can't say that you're just as ruthless and just as good at playing the boys' game and then turn around and cry sexism.
Right. Piling on, no less. You know what that implies.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. And she does not choose any language lightly.
Right. And what about Geraldine Ferraro's comparison to if it had been Barack Obama, and that they wouldn't do it to Barack Obama because it's less okay to pile on a black man than a woman?
I'd agree with half of that. I would say, first, I would disagree and say that both sexism and racism are sadly okay among some segments of the population, but that I think it would probably be viewed with be undertaken with more caution had it been Barack Obama. But if he had been the front runner, then they would have done it. They have to. That's part of how you get ahead, and that's part of how you have a real debate.
Felicia, thanks a lot for calling us.
Thank you.
Here, by the way, a little more detail, fleshing out the Pat Robertson endorsement this morning. Here's a quote that goes right to what I was speculating before. He said, "The overriding issue before the American people is the defense of our population against the bloodlust of Islamic, he said. There is a difference between Islamic and Islamist, which we could talk about, but is the defense of our population against the bloodlust of Islamic terrorists, Robertson told the National Press Club. Our world faces deadly peril, and we need a leader with a bold vision who is not afraid to tackle the challenges ahead. But it goes right to what he calls Islamic terrorists, and that's why Pat Robertson is looking at it. And we are going to have Dean Charles Dunn from Pat Robertson's Regent University in Virginia Beach coming on with us in about 5 minutes, we can now confirm. So we'll talk about that right after we take a few more calls on the Hillary and sexism question. Nicole in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Nicole.
Hi. I'm just calling in to say that I think absolutely that sexism is way more accepted in our society than racism. In our society, people use expressions like, he threw a ball like a little Mary, take your skirt off, things like that. Those are perfectly acceptable things to say, but the equivalent would never be tolerated in terms of referring to someone's ethnicity.
Yeah, but they didn't say she was throwing like a girl. They said that she was contradicting herself. So when you hear those statements juxtaposed in that Edwards ad or if you watched the debate and heard, you know, the specific attacks they were making on her lack of specificity or her appearing to say contradictory things, how do you react to that charge? Where's the sexism in that?
The sexism is that afterwards, if this had happened with Barack Obama, afterwards you would have had all sorts of different organizations talking about how these things were racially charged. You don't have that when it comes to women. You do not have that backing from society. I really feel like it's much more acceptable when it's a woman. Mm-hmm. You don't have as much, you know, defense afterwards. Where, you know, when American Idol contestants get voted off and they're African American, and two or three in a row get voted off that are African American, it's all over that it's, you know, racist. But you just don't see that when it comes to women.
Right. And on these contradictory statements, on the one on the driver's licenses, right, where she just would not be pinned down to take a position on Spitzer's plan, there was at least one voter in Iowa who was quoted in the piece that Andrea Bernstein reported from there this morning, who said, look, she took a complex position on a complex issue when they're trying to hammer her into a yes or no soundbite. So there was at least one voter who admired her for not just saying Spitzer's right or Spitzer's wrong. Do you agree with that?
I absolutely agree with it. And the truth of the matter is, this is what they did with John Kerry. Now, I will say that John Kerry did flip-flop a little bit, but this is what they did. They try to find something and then paint it, you know, paint that person with that brush. So now it will be Hillary is a, you know, a flip-flopper, and that'll be kind of the soundbite that everyone will go with. You have to find something, I guess. You have to find some sort of Achilles heel, and then you have to go with it. But no, I believe it is a complex issue, and it can't be answered in a yes or no.
Nicole, thanks for your call. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and joining us now from Regent University, founded by the Reverend Pat Robertson, is Dean Charles Dunn. He's been with us a number of times before. He's dean of the School of Government there, and he doesn't speak for Pat Robertson, but the big news breaking in the political world right now is that speaking at the National Press Club just a short time ago, Pat Robertson, leading evangelical, ran for president himself, has endorsed Rudy Giuliani for president, something that nobody could have predicted just a few months ago. So, Dean Dunn, thanks a lot for coming back on WNYC with us. Hello from New York.
Yes, good morning. Glad to be with you.
Did you know that he was going to do this?
No, but I thought he would.
Why?
They are very close. Both of them suffered from prostate cancer, and they developed a friendship in the aftermath of their times of recovery from prostate cancer. Both of them are strong supporters of Israel. They have met together in Israel, and so that bond also ties them. So, you know, the tie that binds, the two significant ties, and the third tie that binds is that Dr. Robertson invited Rudy Giuliani to speak here at an executive leadership luncheon that attracted a packed house, about 650 people. And Rudy Giuliani received a standing ovation. It was amazing. From people you would not have expected to give him a standing ovation. And so I could say that one could see the tea leaves and conclude that this announcement today really is not a surprise. That it was likely to be coming, and especially in as much as really Rudy Giuliani has continued to do well in the polls, and to do well in the polls with rank-and-file evangelicals. So Pat Robertson is not an evangelical leader without a following. There is a strong following of evangelicals who like Rudy Giuliani. So those are the ties that bind them together.
But it must mean that at least Pat Robertson, and if those polls are right, a lot of other evangelicals in America are having a shift in priorities right now. Because you could look at those other candidates and say, hey, you know, Mitt Romney wants to fight the war on terror too, but he's more strongly against abortion rights and gay rights. Fred Thompson, same thing. So something is shifting in the priorities that could lead a Pat Robertson to look the other way on what were defining social, domestic, cultural issues.
One could argue that, but I think we have to season that with a little bit of salt of understanding in this way. Rudy Giuliani comes off as the strongest of the candidates against terrorism, very clearly. 9/11 is his calling card, and that really speaks to this conservative evangelical audience. So that's the first reason. Second reason is that evangelicals, at least many of the leaders, want to have a seat at the table. And here's Giuliani, who's continued to do well in the polls, and he runs best in head-to-head combat against the principal Democratic candidates, therefore the one more likely to win for the Republicans. And if you're going to have a seat at the table, you need to support your candidate now.
So there's the electability question.
The electability question is right, and right now he appears and has appeared for many months as the most electable of the prospective Republican candidates.
Is there also a religious issue here, a question of what speaks most to a Christian religious conservative? Because, you know, I sort of have this theory of inverse fear of, quote, Islamofascism, depending on how close you are to ground zero. People in New York are actually less likely to make that the overwhelming issue, even though we here are probably the most likely of anyone in the country still to be attacked again. And yet when you get into the South and rural areas that would be in the evangelical base, places that are real, where people are really not likely to be personal victims of Islamist terrorism, somehow the passions run even higher, or at least that issue gets further to the top of the list.
Oh, yes. The fundamental reason for that is their biblical foundations. The Bible is very real to these people, and Israel is very important to them. They see Israel as the apple of God's eye. And so this war on terrorism, they view it through that lens, and therefore see it differently than a more secular audience that, for example, we would find in New York City.
Do you think that they struck any kind of deal for this endorsement, whether or not you have inside knowledge? Do you think that Giuliani might have met with, well, you said they're close, so they would presumably talk on some kind of regular basis. Would he have promised, you know, certain language on strict constructionist judges, which is code for anti-Roe v. Wade, or anything like that?
I seriously doubt it. I think that their connection is, I originally pointed out, the ties that bind them. They feel just very comfortable together. And that was obvious when Giuliani spoke here. The two of them, just they have an affection for one another. And there's a, shall we say, an affection, and there's an implicit trust between them. Now, we also have to point this out, and I don't know that this, whether it's going to make the news, but one of the top people under Pat Robertson, Jay Sekulow, is for Mitt Romney. Jay Sekulow heads one of Dr. Robertson's organizations, the American Center for Law and Justice, and he's for Romney. So you have two prominent people here, let's say, having seats at two tables.
Dean Dunn, I hear that you left a class in progress to come and do this with us, so I really appreciate it.
Oh, hey, glad to do it. You really conduct such a good interview. It's a lot of fun. In fact, I brought my class into the office. They're just seated here right now listening.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Well, we'll have to have them on. We'll have to have them on next. I guess the class is on presidential politics anyway, right?
That's right. I'll tell him. He said that he'll have to have you on next time.
Right. I'm listening for the verbal reaction. They're very subdued. Okay, Charles Dunn is dean of the Regent University Robertson School of Government, that university founded by Pat Robertson. Thank you very much for joining us on No Notice.
You're welcome.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Back to the sexism question pertaining to Hillary Clinton and other things in a minute with two leading feminists, Liz Abzug and Jaron Alam. Stay with us.